Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into the Titans, their 26-9 win against the Kansas City Chiefs with him. We will get into the college football playoff a little bit later this hour, which I would imagine Rex Road and I are not going to see eye to eye on with how things went down this weekend. But we'll get into that a little bit later this hour. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025, our phone number, discussing the value of the Titans winning games with their young core toward the end of the year, building some confidence, seeing some improvement, versus maybe falling down a little bit in the draft order and not getting the number one pick that a lot of Titans fans wanted to have. Now, Joe, you know, we have seen a lot and heard from a lot of Titans fans over the last few weeks about, you know, the importance of getting the number one pick and being able to trade out of it. Now that it's becoming pretty clear that that ain't going to happen and that they're not going to get the number one pick, more and more today I'm seeing, Joe, well, if it ain't going to be the number one pick, just win some games and get some confidence going in your quarterback. So it seems to be, from the text line response to this point, Joe, number one pick or bust. If it ain't going to be the number one pick, start winning all the games you can if you're the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I'm somewhat surprised and pleasantly surprised, but we have smart listeners, because I think that's, you know, look, of course you want the best possible pick. You want the best possible outcome of the draft. It's a hugely important draft. But, yeah, there is a bigger picture here. And Cam Ward playing well, the guys around him, especially the young guys who we know are going to be back next year, playing well, figuring out how to win games. Yeah, there's value. Again, I questioned Kaharski on this a few weeks ago, if they were right in that range of the one, because it's like, yeah, look, you want him to play well, you want him to improve and all that, but if you have a chance at the one, that could be, who knows? Like, is Fernando Mendoza after the draft process going to be like, oh my God, all these teams need Fernando Mendoza? I don't know. I don't know that he's really that good, but I think that's possible. So then that's where you can get into really setting yourself up. Well, that's not happening now. And so, of course, you'd like a better pick. You'd like a higher pick than a lower pick. But, yeah, I think there's a shift in attention. And, frankly, maybe it's just because it's been so long of such terrible football. But just even the idea of, like, hey, the Titans have a chance to win a game this week, and you know what? It would be good. It's almost a foreign idea, right? It's been, yeah. So, I mean, again, that was their first home win in 400 whatever days. So I like seeing that. I like seeing fans think that way, because I think it really is smart that that building winning habits and, again, building chemistry together with a, you know, it's not a big enough young nucleus. You'd like way more young players on both sides of the ball who you feel good about. But there are some young guys on offense. And then, again, 98 over there is playing the best football of his career. He's dominating.
Yep.
And he's excited. And so you know you have that and some other good pieces on that side of the ball too.
Well, I also think it's different, and maybe it shouldn't be, but I think it just is in the NFL. Like, if you're a team that is quarterback needy, I mean, having the number one pick – is crucial, right? Because, you know, I mean, then you get your pick of the litter at quarterback. So, like, whatever quarterback you want in the draft, you come away with. I'm not saying the number one pick isn't really important if you think you have your quarterback, because it is. Obviously, like you said, Joe, like, if, you know, they go through the draft process and there are all these teams that are in love with Fernando Mendoza and it turns into some bidding war to get to the top of the draft and you can really profit off that if you're the Titans, then yes, obviously that would be a great scenario. But, again, the quarterback is the most important part of your organization. And if you're asking me which one I would rather have, the number one pick, or signs of life that, hey, maybe the quarterback you've already taken could be good, I will take that every time. Because ultimately, that's going to be more important. Yes, it's important that they make the right decision with the draft pick. it's important that wherever they end up here, whether it's six, whether it's four, whether it's eight, wherever, here in the first round, that whoever they select has to be a great player for them moving forward and part of this young core. There's no doubt about it. But if you're asking me what's more important, you know, picking second in the draft or maybe going into an offseason and thinking that your quarterback's got a chance to be pretty good if you can, you know, make the right hire and improve the roster and spend the over $100 million of cap space that you're going to have to help him out a little bit, I'll take signs of life from the quarterback every single time.
Yeah, look, imagine if it was going poorly. Cam was playing like he has in stretches. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, we had a bad game. We're like, yeah, man. It's like each week you sort of have the different conversation. Wow, what does this mean, good? Or what does this mean, bad? Sometimes it's just mid. But imagine if it was consistently bad and they were in for the one, and we'd be sitting there talking about Mendoza, which is an asinine prospect and conversation in my mind, but it still would be brought up. We don't have to worry about that anymore. I feel bad bringing it up right now, but I'm just bringing it up as an example of something we don't have to talk about anymore, which is a great thing because I didn't want to talk about it because it was stupid.
Yeah, I mean, but you're right. If the combination of them landing the number one pick and Ward finishing off the season poorly took place, regardless of whatever excuses you want to make, a lot of which I think are valid around him right now, that would be a talking point all offseason, Joe. It'd be like, well, I mean, Fernando Mendoza's there. Titans should go draft him. Like, if you think Fernando Mendoza is better, then go draft him. And now, and number one, I don't think they're going to be in position to do that. And number two, like, it's nice to see your quarterback make some throws. Like, yesterday was probably his best game. And we'll see what that looks like. You know, can he replicate it against New Orleans coming up? You know, how meaningful is the Jacksonville game going to be at the end of the year from the Jags standpoint of, you know, I mean, good Lord, at this point, could they be the number one seed? I mean, they went into Denver yesterday and won, so apparently they're just really good. I mean, we'll find out what that means. But you're going to get another shot at them. You know, that Milky Pool will be flowing down there in Jacksonville at the end of the year. Chance to go on the road and end the season on a positive note if you're Cam Ward. Like, I just think the way that they have played on offense the last few weeks, even if they're going to end up 4-13 or whatever they end up with, 3-14 at the end of the year, doesn't it feel a little bit different the last few weeks with, you know, the production that they've been able to have on offense? And you've been harping on that for 3 years at this point of, you know, it's one thing to lose, it's another thing to lose and be totally inept on the offensive side of the ball. And the last 3-4 weeks, they have shown signs of making meaningful strides on offense, which it's been a long time since they've done that.
Yeah, Coach Mike McCoy has shepherded a new era of offensive efficiency, so just keep that in mind. Yeah, that pool, that Milky Pool, they're so excited down there, that's just going to look like milk. It's just going to look like a big
container of milk. Shoulder to shoulder in that sucker at the end of the year.
Oh, God. But that's... Yeah, so yeah, you know, you're playing New Orleans, who is playing well, like really. New Orleans is playing well, and they've got some weapons. I mean, Olave is a big time player, and Shuck looks good, and so it's an interesting little duel of rookie quarterbacks. But both franchises, I think, have high hopes. You know, obviously, the Titans have way more invested in theirs, but just in terms of just taking number one overall. But then, you know, going down to Jacksonville, that could be. Yeah, I mean, certainly something big at stake for the Jags, so you have a chance to ruin whatever that may be. Yeah, because they could get the one now, right? I mean,
they could. They probably won't,
but they're certainly, and they're still in a battle with Houston for the division. So you could, you know, you could mess them up and kind of. It's also just sort of a chance to show that progress from the first meeting to this one. What kind of work did you get done between those games to become a more competitive team? And if you can at least even just have a good game there, I think that's something to take into the offseason.
Randy says it seems like Titans fans need to hope that the Giants decide to move on from Jackson Dart. First off, I don't think that's going to happen. Secondly, I don't think so. Like, I mean, that would be one team that is currently ahead of you in the draft order that does not need a quarterback. So, I don't know. We'll see. See how it shakes out.
By the way, like, his first pass completion was like in the third quarter yesterday.
It was
really weird.
I think at one point he was like 2 for 6 for like 6 yards. I don't know what he ended up with yesterday, but it was very strange.
Yeah, I watched some of it and it was awful, but I think that's the thing. A few weeks ago it was like, oh my God, the Titans blew it. That they told that that's the guy that should have taken, and so now it's his turn to be for all of New York to freak out about. But yeah, he'll be their quarterback next
He was
year.
7 of 13 for 33 yards and a pick yesterday.
My
33 yards.
goodness. So we ended up, yeah.
Did they
So we
attempt
ended
to
up.
throw the ball at all yesterday?
It was weird. I feel like, because I was actually watching some red zone. So, but I feel like there were a lot of plays where he like dropped back, but somehow like a pass was never actually thrown for various reasons
Interesting.
against that mighty Vikings defense.
Bold strategy.
Yeah.
Bold strategy. One texter says, given the fact that the coaching staff isn't settled, I'm not a fan of winning at all. That goes back to what we talked about earlier, Joe. There are some Titans fans who are like, oh no, Amy's going to hire Mike McCoy to be the next head coach.
Yeah, that's the new potential freak out this week. So obviously we won't get Kaharski this week to freak out about it. He's gonna have to sit there and stew in that
Yeah.
all week and not even be able to sort of like use us as an outlet for his
I mean, who
frustration.
knows?
But
The next time we see Kuharsky, they may have won again, Joe. Just
I
only
know.
intensifying the conversation.
And then it's like, I don't know, man. Mike's been a pretty good name for Titans coaches. You
It's
know,
making me
unless
nervous
you're
just
getting
talking about
McCarthy, unless you're getting McCarthy, you might want to think about
615-737-1025 for phone number. Speaking of Titans coaches, Diana Russini came out with an interesting report this weekend that caused a stir on Titans Twitter. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, Diana Russini of The Athletic, friend of the show, put out a report over the weekend. You know, she was talking about, you know, the Jets and some of their stuff that they got going on with the process or whatever that process looks like with the New York Jets. But also in this piece, you know, got to a bunch of different things, including at one point referring to Paul Kuharsky as a no-nonsense, pain-in-the-butt reporter, which I thoroughly enjoyed in this article. But also got to the Titans organizing their coaching list. Talked about Matt Nagy being viewed internally as a serious candidate, and this was before the game on Sunday, but I don't expect that to change, that Matt Nagy's probably going to get a look from the Tennessee Titans. Russini also said this, Joe, which caused a stir on Titans Twitter. Tennessee also plans to reach out to several defensive coordinators, including the Indianapolis Colts' Lou Anarumo, Packers' Jeff Hafley, Anthony Campanelli from the Jags, the Rams' Chris Shula, Houston Texans' Matt Burke, and Jesse Minter from the Chargers. Now, Joe, I would like to point out one thing she did not say in there is that's where the list stops. Like, this is
Right.
not exclusively
Exactly.
the list that the Titans are going to be going, but it does look like they are including those names, which, frankly, Joe, like, it's not really that much of a surprise. We've talked about this. I think they need to be pretty wide-ranging with this coaching search. They've had some time to work on how they want to attack it, what their list wants to look like. But that caused a stir on Titans Twitter. I'd just like to just again remind people that Russini did not say that that's all the Titans are going to be doing, is it's going to be either Nagy or one of these six defensive coordinators that are currently employed.
And yet it was taken that way. I mean, the only thing that I just feel like it was a little bit too wordy on Garcia. Pain in the butt would have sufficed, you know, like you can be a little more economical
That's
there.
true.
But it was taken as here's the list. Again, taken by some people, but that's what you get with Twitter sometimes. And none of those names are bothersome. Right? I know some people are just like, I don't want the DC thing, or maybe some people are like, I only want Saleh, not every other person who's considered needs to be an offensive guy. But it makes sense to me, it makes sense to look at all the different buckets of possible head coach. And so, some of those guys could end up being really good head coaches.
Yeah, and I've said this many times. You know, I don't necessarily love the idea of like bringing in the. I think the reaction that would make Titans fans the most mad, Joe, is the combination of have not been a head coach before and defensive guy. I've talked about that a couple of times. Now, look, maybe that ends up being the right coach. I have no idea. I think that's probably the one that would cause Titans fans the most consternation if it plays out that way. But I have no problem on the surface of hiring a defensive coach. I saw some of that reaction this week. It was like, well, why would they hire a defensive coach? It's like, I don't care about that. Like, if they think the defensive guy is the right guy to be the head coach, whether that's one of those coordinators, whether that's Robert Saleh, I don't care. Go hire him.
Yeah, a guy named Mike Vrabel is after that comeback last night is right in there fighting to be the one seed in the AFC and to win Coach of the Year. Mike Tomlin just has another winning season and probably going to the playoffs this year. I mean, there's plenty of examples of defensive coaches who have high level of success. But I'm with you.
Mike McDonald's doing okay in Seattle.
Yeah, he's doing all right. And again, he's got a good OC, but I agree with you. I think that that's the least attractive combination. And I just think, make a hire. If you're absolutely certain that this never been a head coach candidate, whoever it is the answer, even though you did that last time and it failed, that doesn't mean you should just close yourself off to it. But yeah, I'd rather see someone who's been a head coach.
Yeah. And again, I have no problem with any of the names on the list being considered, right? And so, I mean, the real thing is when the next couple of weeks are here and gone and we get into the playoffs in the NFL and you start to actually make decisions on what your head coach is going to look like, who is getting interviewed and who's making it to the second round of interviews? That's what matters, right? Like, I would imagine if you're the Titans, there's probably 100 some odd names that you've talked about at this point, right? It's your job as Borgonzi and Brinker and your staff of a billion people that, you know, Karski was talking about on Friday, probably having too many cooks in the kitchen. It's your job to narrow that thing down and formulate a plan. They've had plenty of time to do that, and we're going to find out if their plan's any good or not heading into the head coaching search here in a couple of weeks.
Exactly. You freak out, Titans fans, once you get to that, once you get to the point of now we know who the five people are for whatever it is. And people that you really wanted aren't on it, or people you really don't want to be on it are on it, then you freak out. Wide net right now. It's also, and I think people are ready to freak out because it's been forever thinking about who the next coach is going to be. So I get it.
No, I totally get it too. One texter, Joe, says, the game yesterday was awful. Way more Chiefs fans than Titans. Very little effort to make it feel like a Christmas game. Music, fan appreciation events. None of that happened. Management inept at all levels. The best thing that happened was the selfie cam when the fan flashed the sign, sell the team. There is that.
Ooh.
I did hear about that.
That's a big no-no on the whoever decided to show that. Was that like a hidden
thing? I don't
know. And then you lift the shirt and it says sell the team?
I don't know.
That's not something you want out there. Yeah, well, I saw some.
This is a low T alert.
I saw Karski's picture, and I was like, he's like, it's a total takeover. So again, it's like probably a lot of people who had flights and are like, well, by golly, let's just go to Nashville. we'll still have fun in Nashville, even though our Chiefs are completely done and we have to watch Gardner Minshew. And oh, now he's hurt too. But it looked like a total takeover. Again, all the Titans fans who were there yesterday, who have been showing up faithfully to these games, and
great people.
Still a lot of people, they are the ultimate fans.
Ultimate fans. I was walking around downtown yesterday for the hockey game. A lot of 87 jerseys out there in red. A lot of 87 jerseys. I would love to know how many people pulled the double dip yesterday of the Titans game and then the Preds game last night. A long sports day. A lot of winning in our town yesterday.
A double win. How many times do you see that?
And really a double, dominant win. Like, the Predators, I know the score was a one-goal game, but if you watch the game, they kicked the crap out of the Rangers last night. Titans kicked the crap out of the Chiefs. Domination.
That little O'Reilly dropped to Forsberg, man.
It's nice.
Yeah, so here you go. Your teams are screwing up their draft positioning. Congratulations, Nashville. Good job.
I mean, I had somebody ask me on the text line earlier if I believe in the Preds yet. I mean, they're certainly playing better. You know, Riley was talking about last night how they climbed back into the race here. So, I mean, technically, you look at the standings, they are only 5 points out of a playoff spot. They are now ahead, Joe, of five teams in the Western Conference. They're moving up.
I believe they can be middling and ensure continuing to be middling. I believe in that. By the way, we're talking about entertainment at the at the stadium, which, yeah, the Titans in the new place, like, they've got work to do.
Got to
They
step the
really
game
need
up.
to, they need to really, and I would hope that that's part of the deal, but they really need to work on that. They also need to stop calling me every 5 minutes about tickets. But I know that this has been, Berserker has made sure that this is going to happen because of all of our critical comments on the Titans. But we did a goal song thing at the Athletic. And so someone on the YouTube chat was like, I agree, Joe. They need to get rid of the goal song. I don't think I said that. I hate the song, right? It's a terrible song, but it's actually a good goal song because it's annoying as hell for your opponent, right? It's
I
just like the
mean,
Blackhawks
I'm
song is
gonna
just
pretend
one
that
of the
you didn't
worst
just
songs
call
of all.
Tim McGraw horrible there. That was very disrespectful.
Well, I'm talking about it, one song. I mean, anybody has can have a bad song, right?
That's true.
You're telling me that's a good song? Come on.
Yeah, man, it's a good song. It's a
You,
90s country. Come on.
I mean, it's not good. I like it. I love it. I want some more
Better
of
than
it.
anything
I
the
mean,
Beatles ever put out.
yeah. Well, sure, of course. That's true. Between that and your college football playoff take, you're just gonna have a hell of a day today.
I mean, I think the college football playoff take I'm about to have is shared by, I believe, about 95% of the country. We're going to get into it.
Yeah, but I like, yeah. Well, that's fine. We can get into it.
We are. We're going to do that
We
coming up
don't
next.
need to get into it now. We get into it after the break.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. It was, in some ways, a waste of time on the college football playoff front this weekend. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We'll have the Rex Rant coming up here in just a few minutes. Corey Curtis from News 2 with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on Titans' 26-9 win against the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, the first round of the college football playoff took place this weekend. Friday night's game, it looked like Oklahoma was just going to run away with it through the first quarter. And then that changed pretty quickly. Alabama comes storming back. Ty Simpson makes some big plays, and the Crimson Tide win 34-24. A defensive battle on the Saturday morning game between Miami and Texas A&M. A late touchdown in the fourth quarter from Miami propels them to a 10-3 win on the road and sends home over 100,000 Aggie fans feeling bad about themselves over the weekend. And then you had the two games later in the day that were a complete and total waste of time. So what did you make of the first round of the college football playoff as a whole, Joe, before we start yelling at each other about Tulane and James Madison?
Yeah, well, real quick on those. Neither of them was as ugly as when Ohio State was up 34-0 on Oregon last year in the Rose Bowl with about 8 minutes left in the second quarter. So that's a blowout. But yeah, the other two games, great win for Alabama, terrible loss for Oklahoma, great win to me for America. And just because I just Oklahoma is the team, is the non-Group of Five team in this field that I had the most problem with. I'm not saying they didn't deserve it. Their resume said they did. I just didn't think they were good enough. Then they're up 17-0, and the entire college football tweeting universe is like,
Boy, they were hammering Alabama.
well, there you go, committee. You freaking screwed up with Bama, didn't you? I
Boy,
mean,
there were
the
a lot of
Notre Dame
tweets.
people, this week, absolutely, the pro Notre Damers were just going nuts. And as it turns out, Miami and Bama both win. It's like, well, actually, the committee seem to get it right, I guess. So, but great win for Bama. I do think, we talked about Ty Simpson and the injury. I think you saw a better version of him. Their protection still is a problem. Their total lack of a running game is a problem. Their drop passes, that's a problem. But, a little bit Saban is when you get like the big special teams play and the big defensive, you get the pick six. And I'm excited for Alabama, Indiana, first of all. And that's a big win for Bama. Like, I think that's a Kalen DeBoer cementer, you would think. Again, Alabama fans, you're just not having Nick Saban again. He was never going to be Nick Saban. I'm sure he won't have the same run Nick Saban had, especially because the sport is different now. And it's going to be harder to have runs like that, I think, because there is more parity at the top. But you got to, if you're a Bama fan, you got to be like, okay, Kalen, you're good. We'll keep you. And by the way, Michigan, I know you were hoping that he was going to be available after the game, but boy, that coaching search is going really well right now.
Good
Go
stuff on that
Blue.
front.
Go Blue. M Go Blue. Here you go, my little cup. And then What a, you know, we talk about games that are hard to watch and everything. That was actually, to me, a really entertaining game,
I thought
Texas
so
A&M.
too. Yeah.
It was a really fun game to watch, and obviously horrific college kicker day.
Oh, man.
But you know that Malachi Toney, I mean, his redemption with the huge play after the fumble, and that defense, Reuben Bain with the huge sack. He, you know, I mean, you feel bad for Dominic Reed because you know he has played so well, but he had four picks, I think, in the last two games, and that last one was just, it was just late. You know, I thought we were looking at overtime, but he's just a little bit late on that
Yep,
one,
and behind
but
him, yep.
and behind, yeah. But still good drive there, finally, for them. And just a big win for the U. That's a legit defense. I mean, that defense against Ohio State. And of course, we got the rematch of the 02 BCS championship game. I'm excited to see it. Now, I don't know what, I mean, Carson Beck better play a heck of a lot better against Ohio State's
Yeah.
defense of that. We might be talking three all late in that one, too.
Very well could be.
But I'm very interested to see Miami's defense that in that matchup. That's a legit crew.
So Ole Miss wins 41-10 against Tulane. If you watch the game, it could have been worse, but it was 41-10 in the game. Oregon 51-34 against James Madison. The score was 34-6 at halftime in that game. So Joe, look, I don't think anybody in the world is surprised that the games played out the way that they did this weekend. I mean, there's a lot of conversation from this and people screaming at each other on both sides of the why is the group of five in the college football playoff argument this weekend. We know where I stand on this. Like, I think it's absolutely absurd that these two teams were in the college football playoff. It was a complete and total waste of time. And to me, like, I understand, and you're probably going to bring this up, and we'll go ahead and address it. I understand blowouts happen in the college football playoff. There is a difference between blowouts happening in the college football playoff and everybody on the planet knowing that a blowout is coming in the college football playoff and then it playing out that way. So, Joe, where do you stand in the aftermath of having watched it happen on the James Madison Tulane group of five discussion as it relates to the college football playoff and where things go from here?
Well, first of all, these people are, and you included, are screaming about this, and it's like, okay, well, you can scream about, you know, we can all scream about, gosh, it sucks that players have free agency every year, or some people could still scream about players getting paid. You know, it's an antitrust issue if they're not included, okay? So you're going to lose in the courtroom anyway. That's one thing. The second thing is, and I understand it's not a perfect comparison, but it is basically, now that you've gone this big with the tournament, you basically are okay. So you multiply it by five and you have your basketball tournament. So every once in a while, and usually like once a year, there's at least a close one, like a one or two or three seed has a at least a scare. Sometimes you get the shocker, Fairleigh Dickinson beats Purdue. And I understand basketball is different too. Like it's more likely in basketball than in football. But almost all of those games are complete blowouts who no one watches. Like, oh, North Carolina, one seed Duke against whoever, and they're up 40. Like, yeah, we'll just watch this other game. When you get the field this big, you're going to have bad games. But the biggest thing to me, Robbie, is if you are really that down on this and we must get the group of five out, like, you're no better than these TV execs or Sankeys of the world who are doing everything they can to just turn it into NFL light. You have to have hope for these programs. I've seen, you
What's
have
the
to have
hope?
a, the hope is to get in. It's freaking awesome that they got in, that they got that experience, that James Madison got into the tournament and got to have that experience at Oregon. You know what it does? It helps them recruit against their level. They're Division I. People are like, well, let them have their own tournament. Well, then they just go FCS and be in that. They're Division I. You are cutting out, you can look at these fan bases if you want and dismiss them, but these teams do have fans. Like Boise State, they have freaking fans.
Sure.
And so, okay, so you're going to just totally take them out and again continue this march toward NFL light and just like 35
Well,
teams and
who's
screw
saying
everybody
totally
else?
take them out? You should have a chance to get in, but you should not just be handed a spot. I've said this for weeks. There is no way this year that you can make an argument that Tulane, who I think was ranked like 20th in the college football playoff rankings, and James Madison deserve to be in the college football playoff. There are years where there are teams from the group of five. You know, we talk all the time about, well, they were never getting in with a 4-team playoff. There was a group of five team that got in the 4-team college football playoff in Cincinnati. There are years where this happens. This year, none of them deserve to be in the college football playoff. And the fact that two of them got in is an absolute travesty to the sport.
But again, the second one is the ACC's. That's the
no.
That's
it's
the ACC.
System's fault. It's not the ACC's fault. Yes, sure the ACC sucks. We understand that.
No, but it's their tiebreaker.
We got to have
that's
some common sense in these discussions.
Okay. So again, so you're taking them out or what? What are you doing? They have to be what? What do they have to be?
Who is they? Who are we talking about?
Well, you're saying, well, they can get it if they deserve it. So what do they have to do to deserve it?
There should be some criteria where you have to, more than one loss, you're not getting in, and you have to meet some strength of schedule requirements. Like, Boise State has had some years where they're undefeated, right? Then put them in the playoff. But if we're acting like James Madison and Tulane played remotely the same schedule as some of these other teams that were left out of the college football playoff, and we're just all okay with, well, participation trophy, get them in so they can get killed at the end of the day. Like, what are we doing here?
It's a
tournament to decide the national champion.
Yeah. You're going to decide a national champion out of the tournament. I mean, again, how much do you need to expand?
Is that
it?
Not why they're paying the tournament? To decide the national champion?
Yeah, they've got the teams in that are going to win the national championship. They didn't exclude anybody that was going to win a national championship.
You don't think Notre Dame could win a national championship?
No, they were close. Vandy, Notre Dame, could they have won games? Yeah. Do I think they were national championship level teams? No. But to this argument you're making, then do it for basketball. So
it's
why
not
the hell?
It's not the
why
same
am I watching
sport.
Robert Morris? Because Georgia played a way better schedule, and they went eight and eight in the SEC. Why the hell are they sitting at home while I watch Robert Morris? Because you have to have access.
Are basketball teams fighting each other at the line of scrimmage? Are there basketball teams that are so physically outmatched that we know it is impossible for them to hang in the game with them? No.
You know what's impossible? 100% impossible. 100% impossible. Appalachian freaking State winning at number 2 Michigan in 2007. Zero chance that's possible. Zero on paper. Zero. It happened. Group of 5 teams in either the CFP or the New Year's 6. Their average ranking was 13.6. in the past 11 years before this, okay?
Uh-huh.
And four of them won postseason games. I mean, Tulane won a postseason game. You know, you're right. There are years where there's an obvious one, and that's great. Hopefully that happens. But what are you suggesting we do? This was a weird year where we got two in. You are not you will run into antitrust issues if you try to exclude them. The only thing you could do is, you could try to raise it above top 25, but I don't think, you're not raising it. I mean, to me, there's no way you're just raising it until you have to be ranked in the top 12. You're not in the tournament. You have to provide more access than that for one freaking spot in the tournament.
Well, there's two spots this year, and I understand
can
blame
again.
Get rid of the five automatic bids. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Why is this so hard? Like, why can we not do this as college football playoff where we get 5 automatic bids? You know, we're all against automatic bids.
And watch the ACC lose their mind and watch the Big 12.
We're all against automatic bids when the SEC or when the Big 10 wants to do it, but somehow we're okay with the automatic bids when the group of 5 teams get in.
Well, I'm not against champions getting in, the conference champions for 5 automatic bids or the rest at large. I'm against every year you're going to get 4, you're going to get 4, you're going to get 2, you're going to get 2. I'm against that.
Did you enjoy watching those games this weekend?
No, but then we get back to there's plenty of crap blowout games that, in fact, what's going to suck? The NFL
can we not understand
too.
The difference, though, between crap blowout playoff games and knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that's the way it was going to play out heading into it? I mean, people were talking about Tennessee-Ohio State this weekend. I think Ohio State was an 8-point favorite in the game. There were people all over the place picking Tennessee to win because Ohio State had just absolutely crapped all over themselves the 2 weeks before that playing against Michigan. It's not the same thing.
There is a difference, but that also does happen at times in the NFL playoffs for sure, where it's like, well, this stupid team that won their awful division hosts this team that's going to come in and blow them out anyway. And Certainly in the NBA, the 1-8 series, a lot of those
it's
are, we know the
you're
outcome.
Talking about professional sports,
okay,
man.
But it's
the,
a postseason.
The rosters
you,
are the same.
So because of two blowouts, because we know it was going to be a blowout, it is just, oh, it's absolutely criminal. Again, I'm giving you postseason examples of situations where that also happens, where we knew in advance this ain't going to be a game.
Yeah, do you think, do you honestly believe, like people brought up the Utah stuff, do you honestly believe Utah and Alabama and whatever bowl game they played in, after Alabama was not in the, I don't even remember if it was the playoff at that time or if it was still the BCS, do you think that that is comparable to the college football playoff when you have opt-outs and all this other stuff going
up.
On?
I didn't bring that up. I don't know. I mean, but again, look, the big picture here is, one, you have to provide access because it's good for the sport and to give all these programs hope of just getting into the dance with one spot, and this will be the weird year we have two. And also, it's an antitrust issue if you don't do it anyway. So I'm fine raising the bar a little bit. I mean, as like Herb Street said, how about top 16? You know, if they can all agree, fine. But this whole idea that people are losing their mind, and these group of five teams need to have their own playoff, that'd be huge. No, it wouldn't be huge. It wouldn't be huge at all. And if that's what you're going to do to them, then just go to the FCS. Go to the FCS.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. I would imagine this conversation will continue. We'll have Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
How about my rant is me slapping you?
So you can ask the bottle, but don't ask me.
I know that he just gets his jollies from this, okay?
And it's getting bigger and bigger.
Built to pound.
Then it's just total nonsense.
Can you spare a square, coach? Can you spare a square?
You know, Vrabel, I used to enjoy the delicious taste of a Camel Light.
So you can ask the bottle, but don't ask me.
I'm absolutely going Mason Rudolph over Drake May. Why are people still saying stupid crap like this? It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. A nice slide in of the Rudolph, Drake May stuff there, Ian. Good stuff. Way to go.
That was timely.
It
holiday
was. That
and
was good.
Game last night. So.
It was good. It was good. Joe, the floor is yours.
Yeah, so, you know, surprise ally in this conversation. You know, I've got Kaharski sending me, if I would have seen this earlier, I would have sent it to Ian to play, but it's a reporter. I don't know her, but she makes the case for the group of five, which, again, some of it is like, you know, you're just going to tell half the sport now you have no chance. You know, there has to be access. And again, getting to the tournament is a huge deal. Like when you're competing with your peers, that's a huge recruiting thing. I mean, it's her point was North Texas, South Florida, which, by the way, I watched that whole game this year. It was a pretty awesome game. When I thought at that time that South Florida was going to be the group of five team, and I actually thought South Florida, I was like, South Florida, with their offense, with their firepower, they could have caused trouble. The South Florida's best version this year could have gone into, I think, either of those places and at least hung in. You know, I mean, like that defense, pretty talented too. They screwed it up. They blew it. I mean, they had some injuries, but also they lost to Navy. Navy's a tough matchup. Regardless, her point is, like, that game was huge. On a Friday night, all of college football's watching it, or, you know, a lot of college football is watching. It had good ratings because it was a game with playoff implications, and you just can't take that away. So, again, I'm not opposed to raising the bar to a sum, but this idea of, like, well, you're like they have to be undefeated or whatever. I mean, sometimes, like Boise State, you know, they got rolled by South Florida. South Florida lost at Miami, but they also won at Florida, and they also blew out Boise State. So that loss was not and should not have been disqualifying for them. It was later that they disqualified themselves by losing more. But, yeah, it's just the bigger thing to me is, like, just over the past few years, it's like I'm watching the people who run this sport doing everything they can to condense it for the TV executives, say, here's our top programs. We're going to get them condensed together. We're going to have an NFL-like schedule. It's going to be just like the NFL. And that's the mindset of the TV executive. And you're cutting out huge swaths of the country in the process. And expansion has been so problematic in so many ways, including for this tournament. And it just anything where you're now trying to exclude people, which is the same basic idea, really bothers me.
Well, the flip side of that is your fans that are going through all these changes too, when it's the most important time of the year, have to watch that crap that we watched the other night on the college football playoff.
Or just tune out
completely.
Watch
the NFL game.
Or just not watch at all.
Okay, watch the NFL game.
Well, is that what you want? Like, you want people to not watch in the first round of the playoff if you're college football?
You're going – like, again, you're going to have bad games. I'm with you on, like, the distinction, right?
It's a pretty darn important distinction.
Okay. But, again, you do have in other postseasons, absolute, this is crap, and it's not going to be good, and it turns out to be correct. And so, don't watch the game. The 1-16 game over here and over here, they were all blowouts. Okay. I'm not watching them. No one's watching them except for the fans of those teams. And yes, it's not apples to apples, but it's a once you expand the tournament to this point, that's how you can provide Group of Five access, you're going to have more blowouts, and you've had blowouts every single year.
I understand that, Joe. Again, there's a difference. It's football and basketball are totally different. The tournament's 68 in basketball. It's 12 in football. There's a physical difference in the way the game is played. They had no chance. Nobody, everybody knows. James Madison and Tulane had no chance walking into those games. And that's what you are in the first round of your playoff. You had two games that everybody knows what the outcome is before the game. And again, I understand you're never going to get rid of blowouts. I mean, look, Ohio State went on a run last year where they kicked everybody's butt. They may turn around and do that again. I have no idea. Ohio State may get in here and just start destroying people once the playoff happens. But do we know that heading into it? I don't think so. Like, I think there's some intrigue to these matchups moving forward. And I'm trying to get to a place where there's some intrigue in every playoff matchup.
Well, you're never going to have it. You're never going to have it. So
we didn't have intrigue. We didn't have intrigue in every matchup in the 14 playoff. Really? There was you never walked in and thought, "Oh my God,
Robbie, we've expanded the playoff."
I understand that.
So again, that's why I make the
there wouldn't be intrigue with Notre Dame playing Ole Miss instead of Tulane. Probably would.
Okay. Again, get sued. Do that. I mean. You have to have access. The two this year is unfortunate, and it's not going to happen again. And if it's every year the Group of Five team is substandard, we know it's going to be a blowout. Well, will we in a given year be shocked that it's actually competitive? I think that could happen. But yeah, there may be a game where you're just like, well, good for that. You lucked out. You got the Group of Five team. But when you expand the playoff to 12 and then it keeps going after that, we're no longer worried about excluding a national champion. I don't want to hear it. You know, like I think Notre Dame and Vanderbilt were both good teams, you know, and last year was a better year in terms of, I mean, the first teams out were a very flawed Bama team in South Carolina. Like, there was no talk last year of, ooh, the champion could be out there not in the field. But you're going to expand it more. You're certainly going to 16, yep. Right? So you're going to have the champion in the field. You're not going to have a team that could win it all outside the field. And this is the basketball comparison. You know the champions in there. You know the teams that are left out. Certainly tons of teams are better than these auto-bid teams. Tons of them. One of the great charms, and I know it's not apples to apples, but one of the great charms is those conference championship weeks. One of my favorite things in sports is these teams that they just want to get to the dance and get there. And I think it's still awesome for Tulane and for James Madison to get that experience. And that is worth it, having a crap game, 100%. I mean, none of it's perfect. You're never going to be perfect. But if you weigh one side or the other of, oh, God, these games are going to suck, no one's going to watch them, versus all the other problems, if you just eliminate them, I don't think it's even close.
I think you're absolutely insane on this, but this will be a debate that rages on, I'm sure, for years at this point. Hopefully we don't get in this situation again where two of them are in there. That would be great.
Yeah, and I don't think we will. But that's why, you know, the ACC and these conferences, and again, the expanded conferences cause a bunch of issues, but that's something that can't happen again. Miami should have been in that way. And then you have, well, you have Notre Dame. Vanderbilt was going to get screwed either way. But then you have Notre Dame in the field, too.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis will be with us coming up next for his weekly visit. We'll get into the Titans' win against the Chiefs. I'm sure another game will come up from this weekend as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.